You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Elchanan Vasman Zechet Sal Varacha. He died al Kiddush Hashem with his Talmidim when the Nazi regime Yimach Shemam v'Zichram were killing Jews. And the Misora that the Chofetz Chaim gave to him as one of his Talmidim with the rest of the Talmidim, and I want you to hear this, and this is, you know, been written, recorded for perpetuity. The Chofetz Chaim was the closest we come to a person as Ruach HaKodesh. He said to his Talmidim, I want you to know that the concept of Milchemes Gog Magog, which we read about in the Haftaros in Zechariah and Sefer Yecheskel on Sukkot, two different parshas about Gog Magog Milchama were read. If you look back in your Machzor, you'll see we read one parsha on the first day of Sukkot, another parsha when it comes to Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So we have read these parshios. That Gog Magog Milchama, the Chofetz Chaim says, has three parts. He said after World War I, part one of Gog Magog was Milchames Olam, the World War I. He then said to his Talmidim, that is the second part. World War II is going to begin. He says, I'm not going to be around to even see that war because I'm not going to live that long to be able to be there. But I'm giving you an approximate time frame when it's going to take place. And whatever he said actually happened. It happened around the date he had predicted. And we don't have to talk about the Holocaust that took place during World War II. That was Gog Magog number two. The Chofetz Chaim said, however, the final and last milchama of Gog Magog before the Mashiach comes is World War III. Gog Magog World War III is going to be spearheaded by the religious fanaticism of the Muslim world, who are going to try to take over the whole world, eradicate its opponents, and cause a worldwide threat to the existence of everybody else who's not a Muslim and a radical Muslim thereby. And it's going to be led, and the sources seem to indicate this, by what's called the ancient Persian Empire, which today is Iran, and all of its surrogates and all of its accomplices around the world. I hate to mention it, but Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, and some other entities, you know, besides the surrogates of the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah up in Lebanon, the Hamas in Gaza, the Palestinians, all of these are surrogates of the Iranian Empire, and they are doing whatever they can to put this agenda of World War III into place. They are ready to die for the sake of the cause because they don't believe in this world anyway. By them, the whole thing is the world to come. In fact, one of the commandos who participated in the terrible, terrible October 7th war said explicitly that they were told by their leaders, commando leaders, consider yourself going on a suicide mission. We don't think you're going to come back. In fact, they drugged all the commandos with a special drug that allows people to act in the crazy way they did without remorse. The commandos told them to do whatever terrible thing you can to those Jews living in those communities, beheading them, killing them, destroying babies, burning their bodies, desecrating every human being you come across in those communities. And it doesn't make a difference what your ethnic origin is. There are many other people from other ethnic groups living in those kibbutzim. But they didn't discriminate. Everybody was in their agenda. They were told, Lahashmid, Ulaabed, Laharog, Kol HaYudim, and everybody is with the Yehudim. Men, women, children, babies. Do whatever you can to kill as many people as you possibly can before you are killed. And to desecrate their bodies in the most disrespectful way you possibly can. I don't want to be very, very explicit in some of the stuff I've heard and seen, but all I can tell you is this barbaric activity on the level of what they did is at least equal to the Holocaust, maybe even worse than the Holocaust, when it comes to what they did and how they did it, and the cruelty and then taking hostages back to basically, at least not now, to plea bargains. We see now with America and the world, stop the Israelis' war against us, and we'll give you back all the prisoners that we captured. All of this was pre-planned, orchestrated with the help of Iran and Iranian advisors. For a couple of years, they were planning this. They got a hold of information of where all the switches are to turn off all the border defenses, which I'm not going to go into Arichas now. This was a purposely conceived plan act, and all the various atrocities you've heard were pre-planned and ultimately told to the commandos to commit as they're going on this suicide mission. So with all of that in mind, and realizing we're now holding in World War III, whether people want to admit it or not, and the fact that America brought all these fleets and all these ships into the area with special MU Marines and Delta Forces and everything else indicates, whether America wants to admit it or not, they are preparing for World War III and having the response to prevent it from spreading and becoming more and more dangerous. They have their arms in place, sophisticated jets and weaponry, and all different types of missiles and instruments of war available in all these very, very fancy ships with the latest weaponry of America at their fingertips. This doesn't happen unless America realizes what I'm telling you now. They don't want to say it to get people frightened, but we have a war potentially on a worldwide level about to take place. All the people I mentioned before, all the nations are co-conspirators over here, and Russia and Ukraine is part of that war. The threat of China against Taiwan is another part of that war. But I'm concentrating today on us, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Israel, the agenda and what the Ribbono Shel Olam promised us in the Torah to give you some Divrei Chizuk. So please listen to me for the next couple of minutes. And unfortunately, I wish I had a bigger audience to share this with, but I hope you will share it with other people. This is all recorded. It will be sent out to the thousands of people who are receiving these tapes every week. So listen very carefully to what I have to tell you. Going back historically to the biblical text of the Torah HaKadosha from Hashem, Avram, ironically, when he entered Eretz Israel, saw that the people that were living there at that time, these Canaanite nations living there, even at that period of time, were already living in a captured land that was not supposed to belong to them. Rashi tells us that when Avram came in and he saw the Canaanites living there, it really shows that what Noah did after the Mabul was being undermined at this point in time. Chazal tell us that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, v'Yefes. Shem, which are the Semites, were given basically the Mideast, where Eretz Israel is. When it comes to Africa and that whole continent, that was given to Ham. And the European continent and all the countries that are connected to it was given to Yefes. So he divided the world amongst his three children into three parts. By the time Avram entered Eretz Canaan, the Cham representatives from Africa in those regions already had invaded Eretz Canaan and called them basically the Canaanites were usurpers taking land tracts that were not part of the inheritance going back to Noah. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately promised Aryan to Yaakov to give him Eretz Israel, it was to return to them as being the children of Shem, lands that belonged to them from Noach's Chiluka, and therefore the returning lands to Klal Yisrael, not just taking it away from people who lived there before and giving it to us, but according to the way Rashi interprets it, and the Chasam Sofer is elaborating upon this, what actually happened is Hashem says the lands that were taken away from you and your progeny for future generations will be returned to you, and therefore that was a promise Hashem gave. Where did Hashem give this ultimate promise? So now we're coming to the crucial factor. And the famous Bris Bein HaBesarim, which I discussed over the years with you in many different shiurim. Today I want to elaborate on this Bris Bein HaBesarim, And I want you to listen carefully as I point out certain facts, figures, and historical events based upon it, for you to comprehend why this Bris Bein HaBesarim is the hope that we have that ultimately, at the end, everything will turn out for our benefit, for the good, for the survival, and for the ultimate Yemeis HaMashiach Hashem promised us in Tanakh, as the Rambam describes it very beautifully in the 12th parak of Hilchos Malachim. If you want to look it up, it's the last sefer of the Mishnah Torah, Shoftim. Hilchos Malachim, the last chapter, has a tremendous arichos describing the beauty of what's going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach, in Perek Yud Beis, the 12th chapter. Now, one of the things that we have in the Haggadah of Pesach that I've mentioned before that is quite interesting and fascinating is that besides relating all the historical phenomena that led up to the Shibud Mitzrayim and what happened with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the miracles, and what happened post-Yetzias Mitzrayim with Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the events that took place at that period of time, all the way going up to Matan Torah, et cetera, and the ultimate Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Haggadah stops in the middle and tells us to cover up the matzahs, pick up the cup of wine, and make the following statement. Hisha amdo lavaseinu volanu, this has stood for us, our forefathers and us, shal echav avad amaleinu lachalaseinu, not only one nation has ever tried to commit genocide against us, elash v'chol dar v'dar, oindam aleinu lachalaseinu, in every generation, there will be anti-Semites trying to destroy us, trying to come genocide against us. But the promise I'm giving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Miyodam, I will save you and prevent them from committing genocide against the Jewish people. Now, what is this phrase relating to? So it relates to, if you look in the Haggadah sequential order, to the ultimate Bris Bein HaBesarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Avram at that time, as we affirmed with Yitzhak and Yaakov later on as well, and with Klal Yisrael for all future generations, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who determines historical events, Baruch Shav Tachasel Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKetz, how all things were going to take place, and he promised Avram Avinu, and he said, Yudor Tedok Yezach B'Eretz Lelehem, that you'll be, unfortunately, sometimes in foreign lands and under subjugation of the non-Jewish world, but ultimately you'll get out of the Golas, and ultimately, as we're going to see, we will enter into our Jewish homeland, Eretz Israel, at one point in time, and from then on, it will be our eternal homeland, what Hashem calls Amar Rasha, until the end of time. So let's understand what the Bris Bein HaBesarim said and understand the ramifications of all of this. One thing is for sure, that of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, our Matana of Eretz Yisrael is mentioned as one of the four major parts of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Karis HaBris, Lezarach and Asatis Eretz Hazos. Hashem says, I'm going to give him this land. He lists the 10 Canaanite nations that are living there at that point in time and tells them this land is being given to you as a Jewish homeland for eternity. In the Parshas Va'era, where we have contained the Lashonos of Geula, the four Lashonos of Geula which correspond to the Dalek Kosos we drink at the Seder on the night of Pesach, that besides, you know, having the four Lashonos of Geula, we also have, according to Chazal, actually six Lashonos, two more Lashonos besides the initial four. I mean, the initial four are Hotzeisi, Hitzalti, Gaalti, Velakafti. And then it says two more. Veveisi Eschem El Oretz Hashem Nesosi Es Yod L'Seisa Sol Avin Yitzchak Yaakov. I'm going to bring you into the land that I promised and swore to your Avos, Avin Yitzchak Yaakov. And I'm giving that land to you as a marasha. Now it doesn't say I'm giving that land as a Yerusha, an inheritance. He says I'm giving you that land as a marasha, as a heritage. The only other concept of Torah that's called the Marasha Baloshin HaTaira is the concept of Torah. Torah Tzivulana Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. Torah is also a Marasha, not just an inheritance, but a heritage. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, another Gedolei Hador, together with him at different times in Jewish history, said that there's a big difference between a Yerusha and a Marasha. A Yerusha is what you get from your parents, grandparents, an inheritance. Those who inherit belongs to them. They can do whatever they want with this inheritance, even consume all of the parts of the inheritance during their lifetime, not giving it over to the next generations if they so decide to do such. A Marasha, a heritage inheritance, is not that way. Marasha means it is an inheritance of the Jewish people, but it's not just Yerusha, it's a Marasha. It's a heritage inheritance in which every Jewish generation has the right to inherit this Torah, inherit this Eretz Israel, and utilize it to its best to help them in their spiritual aspirations, in their Shmiras, Torah, and Mitzvahs, in their spiritual edification and intimacy between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in their connective link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a place and an object with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mezakeh Klal Yisrael to be zochet l'chol habrachos haksuvis b'Torah. And this Marasha must be kept intact and transferred over in complete existence to subsequent generations to the end of time. The same way we can't be malamin and give away our Torah to the non-Jewish world, what's ours is ours, and it's a Marasha forever. We can't give away parts of Eretz Israel to the non-Jewish world. Eretz Israel was given to us as a Marasha, the Torah says explicitly, and we must give the whole Eretz Israel that we have over as a Marasha to all subsequent generations till the end of time, as Hashem promised explicitly in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and also, as is mentioned in Pashas Va'era, and repeated over and over again throughout the Torah, that Eretz Israel is our place, that's where you're going to be. There's a Mitzvah Daraisa to live there, Arashna Arasa Yashavtim Ba, Hashem gave it to us as our ultimate matana from Hashem as being the Jewish homeland, Eretz Israel and Klal Yisrael and Teres Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that is combined together as one complete unit. We're all basically integrated with one another. Klaus's ability to reach its pinnacle of spiritual accomplishments and intimacy between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and becoming an Erla Goyim and spiritually uplifting the world is dependent upon us living in Eretz Israel and using that to be the source of spiritual illumination. All of this is still supposed to take place from the area of Eretz Israel, which Baruch Hashem we have in our hands this very day. And that's what we're fighting for, to keep hold of Eretz Israel until the end of time, fulfilling the promises of the Ribbono Shalom. So the Ribbono Shalom has an invested interest in making sure Eretz Israel stays in Jewish hands until the end of time. He has a divine vested interest, a divine promise given to us in many psukim of the Chumash, many psukim of Tanakh. And therefore, based upon that, the Ribbono Shalom says very, very explicitly that I want you to know that the way I'm going to make sure that Klal Yisrael is able to be in Eretz Israel and have a hold of it until the end of time is based upon the other promises of Bris Bein HaBesarim, which I'm going to discuss right now. The first is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu explicitly in Pashas Lech Lecha, can't be more explicit than this, he said to him in the Nevuah, Al Tira Avraham Anochi Mogen Lach, which means to say, I am going to serve Avram for you and for all your progeny, for Klal Yisrael to the end of time, as a Magen, as a shield. The Mefarshim on this word, Magen, the shield of Klal Yisrael, is a very, very phenomenal concept. And ultimately, the bottom line of this promise is, Klal Yisrael is protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to never ever be totally subject to entire genocide from the non-Jewish world. We are basically told by Hashem that we as a people are, as a people, indestructible. And that's why we say in the Haggadah, every generation there are anti-Semites who want to commit genocide against the Jewish people like we have today. Hashem Hatzilenu Miyadam, Hashem will prevent that machshava from taking place, because Hashem promised us he's our magen. He will never allow l'chaloseinu to take place. A divine promise mentioned in the Torah HaKadosh given to us at Har Sinai b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'b'atzmai. Now, with that in mind, the first nechama I want to give to you is, do not think even in World War III they'll have the ability to cause total genocide against the Jews, which is basically what Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and all the surrogates are attempting to do with all of what's going on today. But that can never be. Persia once tried before to annihilate all the Jews in the time of Mordechai the Esther. And the whole Purim story tells the answer. No matter what Haman and Achashverosh and all the other anti-Semites of Persia tried to do at a certain day to commit total genocide against every man, woman, and child of Jewish descent living in Persia, the Rabban Hashem Napechu Hashem changed the situation, and it went that not were the Jews under the process of elimination, but the ones who were eliminated in Purim at the time of Purim's episodes were the anti-Semites of the world, including Haman and his children, who tried to commit genocide against all of the Jewish people. Hashem changed it. They wanted l'chaloseinu Hashem atzilenu miyadam, and that's what the Yontav of Purim is all about. But it's an historical narrative showing you that the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim is 100% effective. A mugging. A little secret to you, which the Rambam mentions as well in the beginning of Sefer Shemos. The anti-Semitism of Egypt, if you think, was less than that, you're making a mistake. The Ramban says when the Melech Paro wanted to destroy the Jewish people, if he could have destroyed all of the Jewish people simultaneously, the Ramban says he would have tried to do it. But he realized, based upon the fact Yosef was there for so many years, and Yaakov was there, and the Egyptians still remembered all the bracha and hatzlacha they had because of the existence of Yosef and Yaakov, and the initial Jews that lived in Egypt when they came down from Canaan to live there. He could not promulgate openly genocide against all the Jews. Ultimately, his project was to kill the men of Klal Yisrael, but not the adult men, the babies, because if you stop having men babies, the Jewish religion, the Jewish people will not be able to continue. He'll force the Jewish women who are left to marry the Egyptian world, and will therefore eradicate us in multiple ways. So Paro also wanted to commit genocide, one way or another, but the Rabbi Nishlam did not allow that to happen. And at the end of the day, the Jews left in incredible numbers that literally are incomprehensible. And what happened was a napachu. Instead of they decimating us, we with the 10 makos Hashem performed on our behalf and all the subcategories of the makos decimated the Egyptian empire. They made the superpower a very, very, very unpowerful empire at that point in time. A major army of Mitzrayim later on, because of their craziness, followed the Jews into the Yamsuf, and the Torah tells us in the Oz Yoshe how they were drowned and killed. So the powerful concept of Egypt at that time was also undermined and undercut by the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Machshav of Paro, Machshav of all his warriors, all his major Chachamim. Hashem changed the situation. Hashem was matzileinu miyadam. But realize the Kavanah was at that time also a complete genocide. And therefore, throughout the history of the Jews, different countries at different times. Just remember the Crusades, 1492 in Spain, what was going on over there. Later on, we have what's going on in Europe, in different countries, the anti-Semitism that took place, and the destruction of Jews in different cities, at different times, in different places. The hatred of the Jews, the anti-Semitism, Halach Bidu Esav Soni Es Yaakov, and when Yaakov intermarried with Yishmael, that concept, Halach Bidu She'esav V'Yishmael also Soni Yaakov, both together, have the same plan together to destroy us. Hitler was encouraged by the Mufti of Jerusalem to have the Holocaust take place. So you see the Yishmaelim and the Edomim. See, Germany is part of the European continent, part of the Malchus Edom, joined together in concert to try to commit genocide, and it was not allowed to happen on the level they tried to commit it. So we're now facing, when Hakamas Medina came into existence, Chasdei Hashem, the Arab armies again tried to literally destroy us. And what was the attempt? When the UN voted to give us back part of Eretz Yisrael as our Jewish homeland, was voted in the UN. The exact date of that vote, just for your knowledge, so you should have it at your fingertips, was November 29th, 1947. That was the General Assembly's vote that gave us the right to return. In 1948, on May 14th and Friday, Ben-Gurion acted upon it and declared the establishment of the State of Israel. So we have over here an interesting miracle taking place, getting back to Eretz Yisrael, being able to leave Europe and establishing our own Jewish home in a land promised us, going back to the Bris Bein HaBesorim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Bris Avos, the return of the Jews to their homeland taking place after thousands of years of being in a state of galus and being subjugated to anti-Semitism, and the entire Arab world declared war upon us from every direction possible and tried to eliminate the Jews. 600,000 plus Jews that lived at that time in Palestine, with all their sophisticated weaponry they had at their fingertips, the most sophisticated weaponry of that time, the most sophisticated planes and tanks, artillery, the armaments that they carried, whatever you can think about in modern armaments in those years, they had available to them, and millions of Arabian troops ready to go and just slaughter us. The history is that Truman was told by his State Department he shouldn't have voted for the Israel to have its own Jewish state. He should try to rescind it, but Truman did not rescind it. When Israel declared its statehood, the head of the State Department, who was very anti-Semitic, pro-Arab, came to Truman, this is recorded, and told him the Jewish problem is going to be no longer a problem, because the Arabs are going to attack and there won't be a Jewish problem anymore in a couple of days from now. That's what Truman was told. And what history shows us, that's not what happened. They wanted to commit genocide once again, the whole Arab world at that point in time. And statistically, based upon the laws of warfare, it sounded pretty sure that they had the ability as the Arab world to literally destroy us. And this is more than the threat we had when it came to Hanukkah of Greece against us. We had now the whole Arab world coming against us, the most modern weaponry possible. But this brings us to the second promise of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Promise number two. And that is when Avram said to Hashem, how can I have children? According to natural law, I and Sarah don't have the capacity to have children together. Hashem says, "Vayetze hachutza." He took him outside.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
He said to Avram Avinu, "You and Sarah and the rest of your progeny of the Jewish people are going to live mechutz miderech hateva, lamala miderech hateva. Miderech hateva, you can't have children, but that's not going to stop you and Sarah from having those children. I'm Hashem. I control the natural law, and you through my aegis will be able to be mashanda natural law for the sake of you having children, and for Klai Yisrael's survival throughout the ages, you'll be doing it l'mal miderech hateva. When the Gemara says Shabbos emal Yisrael means the normal natural law, which usually hinders the rest of the world from doing anything l'mal miderech hateva in their existence. Klai Yisrael were told you're not subject to that. You through your Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim, being the aman yivchar, I've been given a promise of being able to survive l'mal miderech hateva. We saw it in the miraculous war of Chanukah. We talk about that in the Yahanisim, Rabban Yad Miyatim. Just look back at that tefillah. And we saw that very explicitly in the war of 1948. And at the end of those 2 years, not only we were not destroyed by the Arabs, despite all the people of Nebuchadnezzar lost their lives in that war, but they begged for an armistice. And we won that war in being able to have Eretz Yisrael established. And it's been established for the last 75 years. What is interesting is we've seen other wars take place since then by the same Arabs trying to destroy us again. Let us forget the Six-Day War, which is unheard of. No country in the face of this earth, based upon the dimensions of the battlefield, could defeat an enemy in 6 days. But when Hashem made a promise, l'mal miderech hateva, it was fulfilled. Any Gadol who wrote as a reaction to what they saw and witnessed in the Six-Day War, there are many articles that I have at my disposal that have the statements of the Gadol HaDor in Eretz Israel, the Gadol HaDor in Europe, the Gadol HaDor in America, said without a question, we see a nes from HaKadosh Baruch, a miracle taking place, and therefore Hashem's promise of us surviving l'mal miderech hateva and seeing open miracles. One miracle people don't know about, but they should know about, is when the Jordanians were still in control of Yerushalayim, Yer Atika, when the soldiers got to the top of the Mir Yeshiva. People don't know this. They got to the top of the Mir Yeshiva, and they saw on top of the Mir Yeshiva that had thousands of people in the building, hiding, protecting themselves from the bombardments of the Jordanians. A gigantic bomb had been dropped on the building from a plane that never exploded. Israeli forces were able to take that bomb and literally make sure it would never explode. But if that bomb would have gone off, the Amir Yeshiva and the whole infrastructure would have collapsed, big bomb, and everybody inside that building would have died. But that wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem doesn't want something bad to happen. He doesn't allow it to happen. The schus of their Torah, their Kedusha, their Avedas Hashem was matzel them. That makes it l'mal miderech hateva, the schuyas we possess. And therefore, Klal Yisrael's historical existence in our survival capacity is l'mal miderech hateva. Nobody who ever analyzed Jewish history could ever figure out how that's possible. Famous poem of Mark Twain. He says, I don't understand how all the major empires are now in the dustbin of history. Where is Babylon and Greece and Persia and Rome, etc. and etc. And the Jews they wanted to commit genocide against, Achai v'kayim ad hayom hazeh, couldn't understand it. But he wasn't aware of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. We understand it. It's a promise Hashem gave. We're indestructible. It's a mug game, promise one. Promise too, we're able to survive l'mal miderech hateva in everything that we do. And that's why when it came to even Mitzrayim, kasha yanu asa, the more they oppressed us and tried to destroy us, which usually would diminish the numbers of Jews, ken yirba v'yifrotz, the bigger we grew, the more children we had, the bigger nation we became. Whatever we do is always l'mal miderech hateva. Even I will tell you, honestly speaking, when it comes to the world, the Goyish world coming about to make a decision to give the land back to Eretz Israel, this happened in the 1900s. And the fact is the first document to articulate the handing of the land back to Klal Yisrael is the famous Balfour Declaration in the year November 2nd, 1917. The famous author James Balfour, the Secretary of State of Foreign Affairs of England, and that's why it's called the Balfour Declaration, made the following statement. His Majesty's government views with favor the established in Palestine a national home for the Jewish people, and we use their endeavors to facilitate this achievement of this objective. This was a tremendous nest that government and that specific part of the world were willing to do this at that point in time. It was then taken up later on by an institution called the League of Nations, called the Palestine Mandate, on July 24th, 1922, that supported this specific declaration. You can find this specific document online. I did. It's called the League of Nations Palestine Mandate, dated July 24th, 1922. And in it, they basically called to say that they want to establish a Jewish homeland for the Jews back in Palestine and Eretz Israel. We have there for the Ummah Sa'olam, the non-Jewish world, trying to help facilitate the Jews to return to the Jewish homeland. This alone is Lamalam Ederach HaTev when it comes to natural law. Most nations that were kicked out of their country and persecuted for thousands of years never had a hope, never had a ability to return to their national homeland and to rebuild it and to reestablish it, etc. and etc. The only nation that's the exception to this rule is Klal Yisrael in their relationship to Eretz Israel. And that's because Hashem promised in the third promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim that he's going to give us Eretz Israel as our Marasha. These were the two ultimate promises of the Lashonis of Geula. And that is besides the Hotzeisi, Vitzalti, Galti, and Lakachti. He then now has Vivesi Hashem Yisraelitz. I'm going to bring them to the land. Unasati Hashem Lamarasha. These two main, there were six Lashonis of Geula. And the Chasam Sofer says in one of his writings that it could be at the end of the ultimate Geula Klais, at the end of time, when we get back of all of Eretz Israel in all its ramifications, and there's no longer any Shivat Malchias, and all our enemies have basically been eradicated through the final war of Gog and Magog, where Hashem promises that all the anti-Semites of this world and anti-Semitism, Hashem says in Pashas B'Shalach, will be eradicated through the offices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Chvodo B'Atzmo. At that point in time, as the promises are told in the Nevi'im, we're now going to have the promise of Evesi V'Nasati implemented as a Marasha for internal inheritance. And the Chasam Sofer says it could be in those days when we have a Seder, we're no longer going to drink only four cups of wine, we're now going to drink six cups of wine to basically correspond to the six Lashonis of Geula, which are mentioned especially in Pashas Ve'era. So those who are wine lovers realize the Seder might be increased one day to have six cups of wine, not only four, according to the possibility suggested by the Chasam Sofer, B'chvodo U'b'atzmai. Let's get back to the topic at hand. If that's the case, the ability of Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael to quite obviously be able to survive all of these centuries, despite all the religious and physical persecution against them, and the mandates of genocide, and everything else that the Geish would want to do, the reason we're able to do this, and do not forget this, is because of God's divine oath of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That is the key to Jewish survival. Don't forget that. Never let that leave your mind. It's a divine promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm coming now to the fourth of the promises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is very important, as this is going to be the last part of my shiur today. But I want you to understand what I have to say now and listen very, very carefully. The last mention of the Bris Bein HaBesarim that is relating to the shiur is Hashem says, for me to give you all of these matanos that I'm giving you, all the other promises, the first three, is dependent on your spiritual worthiness. You have to be spiritually worthy to have all these miraculous things happening for you on the level that I just described to you in the last couple of minutes of this year. But you realize that Geula, that redemptive process of being in Eretz Yisrael is dependent upon your spiritual level of observance of Torah v'mitzvahs, and your loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you becoming the Am Kadosh, the holy nation I want you to be. That's a prerequisite for all these promises having total ability to keep us going all these years without suffering any of the things I mentioned before. However, Hashem says, if you don't live up to this, and you assimilate and acculturate, and your society starts to violate the Averas Chamuras of the non-Jewish world of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Reis, Shechichas Adam, you start to assimilate and acculturate and intermarry, and don't want to even be known, or let it be known to people that you're Jewish anymore, you're going to hide your Jewishness, as is very prevalent today amongst many Jews. And therefore you become like the rest of the non-Jewish world in all of their beliefs, some converting to their religions, and some becoming atheists, some having no respect for Torah whatsoever, no respect for God, denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When that happens, the potential of Golus existence as Jews can likewise take place. Hashem warns us about this in Parshas Achermos, where it says, I'm vomiting out the Canaanite nations for practicing all the Averas Chamuras I mentioned before. Don't follow in their derachim. Don't be hoilach bederachav. Don't follow what the Goyim did. Because if you start undergoing that type of behavior and start slowly but surely being less involved in your Avodas Hashem and everything else you're supposed to do, you might also be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael as a result of that rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called the Golus mode of Klal Yisrael. Now, in Golus mode, we become more subject to the subjugation of the non-Jewish world. All the atrocities that happened to us in world history for thousands of years was because we had sinned, rebelled, and we were in a Golus mode. And what's interesting to note, as we always talk about every day, you know, Lashon HaBab Yerushalayim HaBanuya, we talk about a Geula, a redemption. One of the Animamim is a fact, is Animamim that Hashem is going to send the Mashiach one day, and this Mashiach, this Messiah will help facilitate the ultimate redemption in Geula Klal Yisrael, which will bring the end of days, and all the miracles of that time period, and Kibbutz Galus, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews are returning to Eretz Israel, and all the Jews observing Torah and Mitzvahs, and all those promises of the ultimate Geula, which, as I mentioned before, are mentioned by the Rambam in the 12th Perek of Hilchus Malachim. The question is, how is that going to take place? And what I'm going to mention to you now is very important for you to remember. There is the optimal Geula, and the Geula that is not optimal, that has problems with it. The Gemara in Masechtes Sanhedrin, Daf Tzad Yeches, I've mentioned this many times, that I'm putting now in this context, tells us, based upon the pasuk at end of Perech Samech and Sefer Yeshaya, Hashem says, when it comes to Geula, Be'ita Achishena. And the Gemara says, what do you mean it's going to take place at the proper time of the Geula, and then it says afterwards it's going to take place, Achishena, even quicker than that time? What does that expression mean? So listen very carefully as I use this to end my shiur today. It means that there are two potential Geula scenarios which we have as a Kabbalah, that the ultimate Geula can take place. If Klal Yisrael does tshuva, and we're spiritually worthy, we're going to have the Achishena Geula, which is a supernatural type of Geula, similar to the Geula we had with Yetzias Mitzrayim, that were Oisios, Lamala Miderech HaTeva, Hashem Bechvod Leviatzim, will perform them, says Anivel HaMalach, incredible miracles, the Makis, Chiyas Yamsuf, our survival in the Midbar, these are miracles, Lamala Miderech HaTeva. That's the Geula that is a tremendous one, Achishena, it's quick, it's swift, as the Gemara describes there. But what happens if at the end of time we do not have those zechuyos? And if you take a a tally of Klal Yisrael, the majority of Jews around the world in its biggest numbers, are not Shomer Torah Levi Mitzvos. This incredible assimilation and acculturation has taken place. We don't even know how many Jews are in this world. They're hiding their identity. What happens as we get to the end of time and we're not really for Geula when it comes to our mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim? So Hashem says that is what's called the Be'ita, that it has to take place, and I will cause the Geula to take place. It's compared to a poor person only riding on a donkey. When you ride on a donkey, you feel every bump in the road. There are bumps up, bumps down. It's a very rocky road. You have successes, you have failures, all different things happening. You have setbacks. You go forward, you go backwards. It's very tumultuous, that type of geula, but it's going to take place. So you ask yourself the question, and that is, if we're not worthy of redemption, why are we going to have that type of redemption? And I will tell you right now, when you have a redemption that's Shelo Zachu, the Ramban, the Radak, and later on we have the Gaon and everybody else talking about this, including Rami Simcha Devince, Ar Sameach, the Avnei Nezer, and even the Chafetz Chaim says, when you have a Gula Shelo Zachu, it's Berishian Amachas, the nations of the world help us to accomplish this Geula. We need their help politically, militarily and otherwise, to be able to accomplish this geula. And Berishian HaMalchus, we saw this type of geula when it came to Jews going back from Persia to rebuild Eretz Israel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and everybody else before them and after them. The Persian Empire were very helpful in financing the return and politically supporting the return. That's Berishian HaMalchus. And the Gedolim I just mentioned all claimed in their Ruach HaKodesh what they saw happening is it's going to be a Gula Shelo Zachu, Berishia and Hamalchus. And that is why when you had ultimately what happened before the Balfour Declaration and the League of Nations and later on the UN vote, all the Gedolim who witnessed this in the early and then later generations said this is Berishia and Hamalchus, a Gula Shelo Zachu. It's still a activity performed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nisim Nistam rather than Nisim Nigloim that you can see openly without any question. It's not Koichav Yotzim Yodi, only Hashem could be able to have all of these things occur, which are incomprehensible, especially in today's political climate around the world. But despite that, it did happen. And we have Eretz Yisrael Baruch Hashem. But what we have today is something we never had before in all of Jewish history since the time of Bayis Rishon. We never had our own army that's looked upon as a mighty power, a military force with tremendous sophistication. Sometimes, however, they let their guard down and they're too overconfident and they forget that their power as a Jewish army is because Hashem is helping you, is basically aiding you. The Pasuk says in Sefer Mishlei, Sosmuchu l'melchama v'Hashem atshuva. You have to prepare weapons and arms and soldiers prepared to fight a war. You have to make all these preparations and have the equipment and everything ready. But you have to remember, Hashem atshuva, the ultimate victory is not going to be based upon Kochiv Yotzim Yadi. It's based upon Hashem helping you succeed. And it's fulfillment of the promises of the Bris Bein Abasarim of Him being your Magen, your shield. And also you're being able to accomplish things l'malu miderech hateva, up and above normal your human energy, as we demonstrated in the Six-Day War, as we demonstrated in the War of 1948, as we saw in time of antiquity with the Mechama of Chanukah. These things can't happen unless Hashem is helping us behind the scenes accomplish the Rav Miyad Miyatim on the level that he did. I found very, very beautifully something written by one of the great Gedolim, who has written many, many Sfarim when it comes to our Tanakh literature and our Hashkafa literature. It is written quite obviously, and this is what is said. The famous Rav Kasher writes that in the Medrash Chazal, Hishvati Eschem, Benos Shleim, Bapasif, and Shir Ashirim, it says very explicitly, Kasha yitnu lanu klei melchama. Migayim hagen al atzamin. When Klal Yisrael will develop an army and be given weapons of war to defend ourselves by ourselves against our enemies and antisemites in the face of this earth. We have an army and weaponry, and initially donated to us and given to us. Later on, we took it and developed it and made it even more effective. When we see that happening, that's a siman that the Gula process is in place. It's going to happen. We never had this metzius as a possibility until the time of Hakamas HaMedina. When we lived in other people's lands, we never had such a powerful army for thousands of years. We have it now, and it showed its power. But people shouldn't think, as I've seen some secularists want to attribute the success to, the power and might of the IDF, they forgot that there's a Rabbi Nishan that's giving them this power. Of the concept, l'malam yiderech ha-teva, rabba miyad miyatim, this is all the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can't forget it. And you can't rest on your laurels. You have to realize, you have to be spiritually worthy of this involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And don't take things for granted. Don't think that you're a superpower just because you're good soldiers and you have incredible military equipment. That's not going to mean the success. There's another pasuk we have. Tamid and Tamidos. In Kapitel Chaf in Sefer Tehillim. Eila Barecha ve'eila besusim. Most of the world and the nations of the world and secularists believe it's the type of equipment they have militarily. Horses and chariots, that he means who has the best weapons, planes, rockets, atomic power. That's what they think is going to determine who wins the war. But for Klal Yisrael, our hashkaf is, even though Eilu Barecha besusim, anachnu b'shem Elokim naskir, we realize we have to mention Hashem's name, mishabeli b'ein levinu shev shamayim, realize God's the one who is controlling our success in our war and protecting us during the milchamos and allowing us to succeed in a mission impossible. We don't believe that military preparedness is the only thing that's going to win the war. It's literally being mishabeli b'ein levinu shev shamayim that's going to make all the difference in the world. That's going to make the difference. That's going to allow us to succeed. And in fact, we see slowly but surely a lot of that happening now. There's incredible achdus. There's an incredible movement of tshuva. A lot of the secularists realize now it's not kochiv yotzim yadi. The failures in the south of our border that was impenetrable, impossible. All these levels of shmira failed miserably. Nebuchadnezzar ben Yisrael, what happened to the men, women, and children who live in those communities that thought they were safe? I don't want to recall what happened to them. It's not Kochiv Yotzi that's going to protect us and allow us to win the war we're in, which is the end game of Gog and Magog that we're confronting now. It's B'Shem Hashem Askir. It's us mentioning Hashem's name and contributing and doing things to Avedis Hashem in this world. Do you know that there was a request from over 30,000 soldiers to print them up Gemaras of the Daf Yomi and other Tfilos and other Sfarim that they can learn on the battlefield when they're not fighting, as Yeshua was instructed by a Malach during the Muhammad Kibush Eretz Israel initially? Art Scroll produced 30,000 volumes distributed to our soldiers. They can learn in their spare time, which they have plenty of spare time now so far, until they get involved in their military engagement. We're now fighting with the Kayach of Torah, with the most powerful force that Hashem has for us in this world. That power of Torah, which is represented by the Aron HaKodesh, which collides with when it came to the capture of Eretz Israel at the time of Yeshua, the Soloveitchik points out, the Aron HaKodesh was the Klei Zion that led Klal Yisrael into battle. Look what happened to Yericho and to all the other battles. It was the Klei Milchama. And that Aron went with us, when Torah went with us, as the ultimate power of our military efforts, we were able to outwit and destroy vast numbers of armies much stronger, bigger, and more powerful than us. That's what we need now. We need the Aron, the Torah that we have. Don't belittle the fact that some people are learning Torah now in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and around the world, because Torah has the power to empower Klaus no matter where we live and learn Torah. We have people learning Torah 24 hours. Men learning Torah, women learning Torah. Public asifus of people saying Tehillim all over and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for Rachman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have activities of chesed taking place today on levels we never saw before. It's simply incredible. But it is very important to remember. We go from galus mode back to geula mode when we're spiritually worthy. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, and I want to end with this, and you can look it up yourself in Sefer Yecheskel, in Perek Lamed Vav, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I want you to know that I'm going to return you to Eretz Yisrael, even if initially you're not worthy. Even as the Gula Shalom Zachu, I'm going to return you to Eretz Yisrael at the end of time. And it will change the heartstrings of the nations of the world to help facilitate that, with Sheba, with the nations. Rishon HaMalchus is facilitating, as the cases I mentioned, they did facilitate. The Echmo, I have compassion upon you. Al Shem Kodshi, my name has been desecrated because what happened to the Jews under the Goyish world, how they caused Jews to desecrate the Torah, Jews assimilated, acculturated. Therefore, Hashem says, in Perek Lamed Vav, from Pasuk HaBeis, L'chein Emor L'Beis Yisrael Kamar Shem Elokim, L'Laman Chamani Ois L'Beis Yisrael Kim L'Shem Kodshi. I'm doing this for my own Kiddush Shem Shamayim and the promises I made to Klal Yisrael in the Bris Bein HaBasarim and throughout Tanakh. You are my chosen people forever. And I gave you Eretz Yisrael as your Marasha forever. I gave you Torah as a Marasha forever. You are my Am Segula forever. When you are persecuted, when you're harmed, this is a Chil HaShem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, L'Shem Kodshi, for the sake of my divine name, that you are the source of its sanctification. Kidashti Eshmi HaGadol HaMechula B'Goyim. And the Goyim will see by what I do for you, L'mal Miderech HaTeva, Kani Hashem, Ne'um Hashem, Bi Kodshi Bechem Le'Nehem, Lakachti Eschem in HaGoyim, I'll take you from the nations of the world, V'kibatzti Eschem Echol HaRotzais, Heivesi Eschem Esad Maschem, I'll bring you back to the land, and I'll help you get better, spiritually improve yourself, spiritually uplift yourself. The more people living and learning Torah and Eretz Yisrael now and are more Shomer Torah v'mitzvos than ever before. We see these promises being fulfilled. But try to be do what you can do to impress upon everybody there to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to show HaKaras HaTofu Hashem did for us L'mayla Miderech HaTeva as our Mogein, as our ultimate divine shield. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening to the shiur, I want you to know, everything you do to support Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, whether it's financially, with acts of money, acts of chesed, volunteering to do things, whatever you do, wherever you are, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laretz, you are supporting our right and the reason for Hashem's Kiddush Shem Shamayim to reach total fruition, for the ultimate winning of this war to take place, to hope and pray there'll be minimal casualties, that Hashem should watch our young men and young women who are now out on the battlefield ready to do what has to be done as the Milchemes Mitzvah, the final Milchemes Mitzvah before the Geula takes place. We are fierce and very, very, very ferocious enemies out there who have no limits in their cruelty, their barbarism, and their desire to kill people in cold blood. We just witnessed this a couple of days ago. A very formidable enemy. But what the enemy doesn't know is we have a secret weapon called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem's omnipotence supersedes everything on the face of this earth. He created natural law. The world Yesh Me'ayin, he can therefore change natural law, as he showed us miracles in the past. Any nation who thinks they are safe in their country with all their weaponry and their soldiers and their technology are fooling themselves. Hashem can change the natural law in all of these continents, in all of these countries, and overnight these countries disappear from the face of this earth. Don't think there aren't natural things Hashem can do. Earthquakes are powerful. Tsunamis are powerful. Hashem uses natural law, Eish, Mayim, Ruach, the Gra says, are part of Hashem's arsenal of weapons he has available to us. We saw that arsenal when it came to the concept of Eish by the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. We saw the concept of Eir Ruach, destruction of the rebellion of the Dor HaFloga. We saw the power and the capacities of water punishing the Dor HaMabul. You mix these all three together, this can cause tremendous, tremendous destruction, more powerful than any atomic bomb that exploded on the face of this earth up until this point in time. Hashem has all the kochas at his fingertips, but we have to show a hakaras hatov to Hashem and say thank you for all that you've done for us up until this point in time. It's Hashem who is leading us, Hashem HaTshuva. Please get this message out to all you Jewish brethren. Yeshua Hashem Ke'erach Ayin, it could work very quickly and accomplish what we want to accomplish, but we have to show Hashem a submission to him that whatever we do to protect ourselves, it's only with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's going to accomplish. So whether it's Berechav u'Besusim, Anach le'b'shem Elokim, Naskir, it's our mentioning of Hashem's name, praying to Hashem, doing Torah v'mitzvahs, acts of chesed are very, very powerful, as I emphasized in many shurim of the past. Moshe Kadavero says in his Talmud Devara, when we do acts of chesed and loving kindness, that makes Hashem give us the ability to reciprocate in giving us recipient divine chesed, tzedakah v'rachamim in this world. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Siyam b'mishpati bodeh before shaveh b'tzedakah, our return and our complete control and living in Eretzot, with all the brachos, will depend upon the tzedakah v'chesed and the Torah and mitzvahs that we do as the Jewish people. Remember that. Teach this to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Support all the activities that are working on those endeavors. And if we all work together, Kanos Kol HaYehudim, and there's Achdus in Klal Yisrael, nothing can stop us. Mika Amik Yisrael Goyechob Aretz is the Pasha in Hashem's Tefillin. It makes us the Chativa Achas, the unique nation of Hashem on the face of this earth. If you want Geula to take place, you want Yeshua's to take place, you want the ultimate condition that seems as a mission impossible to be successful, it's our emunah and bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to accomplish this. Let us all therefore use our energies and powers, and with the help of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ish Melchama, Mocha Emcha will take place, supplementing, complementing our acts of Timcha, of self-defense. The Mashiach will come, the Geula will take place, the Evid Malchius on the face of this earth that want to destroy humanity for their crazy fanaticism will be eradicated, and the Zman of Shalom and Bracha of Kol Brachas HaTorah shall come to fruition with all the mentioning of the Gulas Hashem in the Tanakh. You'll see it with your eyes, you'll experience it with your bodies, and we'll come to that day. Shukulo tov, kulo shalom, kulam bracha, b'yis Mashiach tzidkenu, with Yeshua's Hashem, amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.